So thankful. It's so good this morning, as Pastor Bill has already announced this morning, we're having an installation service, and I'm so delighted this morning to have much of my family and much of Angela's family that are here to be with us this morning, and just especially delighted to have my dad to come and speak. As already has been said, he's been pastoring for 57 years, and there's no stopping him. He's still going. So, a lifetime investment in it, and he doesn't believe in retirement. So he just keeps on going and keeps on pressing, and has pastored in the same group of the congregation there for over 50 years. And that's a long time, as I said last Sunday, to deal with the same group of people. That's a long time. And so I commend him on being able to do that. Not many are able to stay in a location for that many years, and that speaks volumes of his integrity and his relationship with God, and also his relationship with the people. And he pastors down in Litchfield, Kentucky, which is about 75 or 80 miles probably from here. Down in Rough River, Nolin Lake area. Most people around here know that area because of the lakes. But it's so good to have him this morning, if he'll just go ahead and come. And he's going to share with us this morning. Can we just give him a big hand clap today?
You can be seated. Well, I hope I don't embarrass him today. Really, I don't care. Hey, anybody that would put a fat guy behind a table with a little stem on it, preachers normally have to hide behind these things. That's why they don't move much. And that works pretty good for them. But I'm glad to be here this morning. I'm especially honored to be here for this occasion, because this is a great occasion for... Now, I relate to him as Dwayne, but his name is actually Nathan. And I'm glad my grandson is here. He's Nathan, and I'm Nathan. My dad was Nathan. And I tell everybody we stuck with the same name because none of us were smart enough to spell very many names. So when they figured out how to spell one, that was enough. So we've hung with that name. And it's great to be here to share with you in this installation service. It's a real honor. It's an honor to have your son to step up and to assume the responsibility that he is called for. And that's a tremendous honor. And I know that he is going to serve this congregation well. And so in the time to come, I look forward to seeing you grow more and more until you can't hold them. And then you have to still go to two services or what. We don't have that trouble at home. We don't have enough people to reach. We're in a rural area. We're country folks. I'm still trying to figure out this morning how to deal with city folks. We're country people. Well, let me just take you to a few places in the scripture this morning, and then we'll stroll right into our basic ordinations, or not ordination, but installation service. You know, I could not be more honored than to be able to do. I've been fortunate to have this opportunity on several different occasions around the nation, and I've always been very honored to get to do this, but it never touches the equal to being your own family, to see them step into the work of God on a full-time basis. If I can this morning, I want to talk to you for a few moments about the steps or stages of faith that we go through. What does it mean to really have faith in God? See, is this just a preliminary thing that we do? What is this all about? And the fact is, it is all about drawing from God the vastness of his benefits that he created us for. You see, God didn't create us just to come together in an assembly like this and have a few moments of a luxury like this, but he created us to give us the best that he had. And he wants us to have the best that he has. He wants everything to be great in our life. And God just wants to bless us that way. And I'm especially blessed this morning. I'm glad this morning, Angie, I'm glad that you're here this morning. Angie was my cardiac nurse when I'd had a little heart problems. Well, they weren't little heart problems. They're pretty big at one time. But she was my nurse. And we have stayed in contact, sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a bad way. Sometimes I had to kind of correct and say, Angie, you got to back off a little bit on that. And so, but it's been great. And my good friend, Ted and Miss Gordon, I'm so glad that you're here this morning. Thank you for being here. Some of you, if you look him over, you'll see him pretty often on TV. He is a pretty high profile criminal attorney. So if you're in big trouble this morning, talk to Ted. Maybe we better talk to God first and then talk to Ted. Let me take you to the book of Romans chapter 4, and I will begin in verse 18 this morning, and I'll try my best to kind of behave myself and act very mannerly to you whether I really am that way or not. We're talking about Abraham and Abraham, the lessons that Abraham had to learn. Abraham was a wonderful man of God. He is a father of the church. He is a father of Israel. He's a father of all believers, no matter where we fall in our category of our faith in God. We cannot get away from our father Abraham. Amen. And so Abraham his journey was not easy with God. It was difficult. It was a very difficult time, very difficult journey. So let me just share a few things here with you. Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. Then he says, now that's according to what was spoken. So shall thy seed be. Now, in this story of Abraham, we understand this, you know, that God came to him and waited till he was an old man to tell him, you're going to have a son, and that son is going to offspring, and you're going to become a father of a great nation. In fact, you're going to be a father that's going to have a family in all the nations of the world. Now, the problem is, Abraham is now old. And in fact, when his son was born, he is almost 100 years old. Now, you might think that's wonderful, but I'm telling you, I'm not quite 100 yet. And there wouldn't be anything that I would want to hear about a new child being born in the family. Now, I don't know. You might be 99 and want one. I've had all the troubles I want. But Abraham looked at this situation, and when he looked at it, he knew this just doesn't look good. How are we going to do this? Sarah is above 90. I'm 99, fixing to be 100 years old. They're going to celebrate my century birthday. How am I going to manage this? And so he understood that this is what he said, according to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be. So he understood that this is not up to me, this is up to God. And if God works it out, everything's going to be okay. Now hold on to those words, according to that which is spoken. Verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead. And he is about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He's old. She's old. But the Bible said he never even stopped to give a consideration to the fact of, can this happen? Because Abraham's faith says, if God said it, whether I understand it or not, it's within range when God says it. See, that's where our basis of faith comes. It's not by what we see. It's not by what is all the doubtful conditions that exist around the promise of God.
It's a matter of, I've got to say, if God said it, I can believe it, and it's mine, and I can receive it. So it's a matter of what God has said. He did not even consider. He staggered not, verse 20, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but he remained strong in faith and giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Now, here is our secret this morning to our walk faith with God. Have we accepted what God has said? And have we accepted that if God has said it, it will come to pass just as God has said? And have we been fully persuaded in our heart that the promises of God are, he is able to perform anything that he said? What about when he said, by his stripes you are healed? Do we believe that? If we believe it, we can receive it. I remember 21 years ago when a doctor said that 8 months later, I would not be here from cancer. But I'm here 21 years later. I don't know how the doctor's feeling, but I'm feeling good. Amen. But I understood on that day that I had two voices that I could listen to. I could listen either to the voice of God or I could listen to the voice of the doctor, and his voice didn't sound very promising. So I would not accept that, but I accepted the fact that what he has said, he is able to perform. There are three stages of faith that works in our life. The first stage is the one that says, I know that God can, but I'm not sure that God will. You know, have we all had that to go through our mind? I know God is capable of anything. There are no limits to God. The potential and possibilities of God are unlimited. But I'm just not sure that God will. This is when we have to go back to the book and say, what did God say? If God said it, then we've got to say, I'm fully persuaded that he is able to do what he said he would do, and I'm going to receive the seed of that promise according to what he has spoken, the same as he did to Abraham. And so we say, I believe that God can, I just don't know that he will. Now what that means is this. This is when we are seeing our circumstances as being bigger than our faith. We are seeing the condition as being so enormous that our faith cannot overcome that condition. And so this is the first stage of faith. But the second stage of faith is when we grow in God. Thank God that we are always constantly growing in the things of God. Amen. We are not where we want to be, but thank God we're not where we used to be. We have stepped and we have taken a few steps forward in the things of God. Then the second stage of faith, when it comes, God will begin to prove himself in his trustworthiness, and our faith will begin to grow, and it is then we begin to draw our focus more toward God than our circumstance. My circumstances look bleak. My circumstances don't look favorable, but I know that God is bigger than my circumstance. I'll take just a moment to mention this. I've been listening to you for a while, so you can listen to me for a while. But I remember when the pandemic came. You remember that event, don't you? You don't want that to happen again, not tomorrow. We don't want to be in that anymore. But our church was pretty deep in debt for our country church. We didn't have a lot of money, people in our congregation. And the banker called me up and he said, let's freeze the funds and you don't make any payment until this pandemic has ended. And I said, you know, that's very nice and I want to hold on to that, but I don't want to do that because God told us to build this church. And so if God said it, he's obligated. And you know what? We were still almost $300,000 in debt. 5 months later, we were able to put on our overhead. We were paid in full. And that was during the pandemic. Amen. If I believe that the trustworthiness of God can do what he said he can do, I can receive vast and wonderful benefits that come from the presence of God. The third stage of our faith is when we begin to say to ourselves, I believe what God said, and I'm going to act on it. I believe what God has said, and I'm going to act on it. I'm going to step out in the faith of God because I believe what God has said. Now, let me give you a couple of verses.
What about in the book of Psalms, chapter 55, verse 22? He said, cast your burdens upon the Lord, and he will sustain you, and he will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now, I say that I believe what God's word said, that I believe what God has promised, and God has promised here that if I will cast my burdens upon him, that God's going to see me through it. He's going to sustain me. He's going to give me whatever I need. Now, what are you going through today that you're having doubt about or fear about? What kind of fears have set in? It is a diagnosis from a doctor? Is it a letter that's come that your job is ending? God never takes anything that he doesn't give you something better in its place if you walk in faith. There's always a better day, a better promise, a better hope. And God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything that you can ask or think. That's what God does. And so God says, take me at my word. Now this third stage of faith says, I believe what God said and I'm going to act on it. So I'm walking through bad times and I'm burdened down over the conditions of the world and the conditions of life and even the conditions that's going on in our government. I'm sure we're all having a few headaches about that. But I'm saying that I'm going to do the best I can to change what I can change, but I'm not going to let that burden me down because God said he's going to sustain you and take care of you because you are his sons and his daughters. Hallelujah. So I refuse to fall apart at any condition that comes my way. I'm not going to allow any circumstance to take my joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I refuse to allow situations and circumstances in my life to take that joy away. What about in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 6? Here's what he said. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Sometimes in life we begin to stumble around like we're almost drunk. We're wondering, where do I go next? What do I do? I don't understand. I don't understand why that I'm here. Well, if I look at this verse and I say, can I believe that verse? Well, the promise of God is that I'm going to hear God's word, believe God's word, and act on the word of God. And it said, if I put my trust in God with all my heart, and I lean not to my own understanding. Now, here was Abraham's situation. My understanding is I'm too old to have a son, and my wife's womb has been dead for years, and we can't have a son. But he refused to believe the circumstances because the promise of God overshadowed and trumped the circumstance. God's bigger than my condition. Are you with me this morning? Amen. All right. So he said, just follow me and let me direct your path. The steps of a good man are ordered by God. You're not out there trying to direct your own way. I'm trying to walk in his way. And his way is an attainable, achievable way if I walk in the ways of God. What about in the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 3 and 4? I'm going to jump to Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him. Wow. God, let me read that again. Will God keep you in perfect peace if your mind stays upon him? Yes. If you trust him, he's bigger. He's bigger than the most negative situation in life. We've walked through some of those things that we wondered, how are we going to get through it? We've walked through some conditions that we wondered, how can things get any worse than this? Only to find out you get up in the morning and they're worse than they were the day before. But he says to me, if I will keep my mind stayed upon him, God can keep me in perfect peace. I have a word. I have a word from God. I believe in God. I'm going to act on that word. God, I will not give up my peace just because my circumstances wants to take it away from me. I'm going to hold on to the peace of God. I refuse to give it up. I refuse to be discouraged. I'm going to hold on to the peace of God. Now, one thing that I've learned about God is that God meets you where you are. He meets you right where you are. You see, God's not going to come and meet you where I am. He's going to meet you where you are. You remember when the disciples were absent of Thomas and he had gone away from them, and Jesus appeared to them after his resurrection. And when he appeared to them, Thomas came back later, and they are so excited, telling Thomas, "Man, you should have been here. You will not believe what happened. Jesus showed up." Thomas said, "Man, listen, I saw him on the cross. I saw him in the grave. I saw the stone seal and the guards that were over it. Don't give me such a story as that. I wouldn't believe that if I saw the nail prints in his hand, and I would have to put my hand through the hole in his side before I would ever believe that. That's too far out for me." Before he knew it, all of a sudden, there is one standing in their midst, and what he says to Thomas is this: "Behold my hand. Behold my side." And Thomas spoke out and said, "My Lord and my God." Hallelujah. He came to where Thomas was. He met him where he was. The centurion came to Jesus. He was a prominent man. He was a military leader, over 100 persons in his troop. He believed in the power of God. He comes to where he is and he says to him, "I have a servant at home that is desperately ill. If you don't come, if something does not happen, he's going to die." Jesus said, "I'll come and go with you." Immediately, Jesus said to him, or he says to Jesus, "You don't have to come with me. You don't have to come with me. All you have to do is speak your word and my servant will be healed." Now, here is a centurion, and Jesus meets him where he was. He meets him with a sick servant, and the centurion said, and we don't even know the centurion's name. And the centurion said, "All you must do is speak the word. And when you speak the word," the Bible said, "God sent his word and the people were healed." Something about the infallibility of the word of God. Let God speak into your life. You see, because when he does, great and wonderful things are going to happen in your life. He meets you where you are. He comes to you in your addiction. He comes to you in your alcoholism. He comes to you with your pornography. He comes to you with all the bad things that's going on in the world. And when he comes to you, he meets you where you are. He doesn't reject you. He loves you. He cares for you. And he draws you. God cares about you. You're the most important thing in the world to God. Now, let me get more into what I'm here for. We've got to be patient with the new pastor. God knows we've been patient a long time with him. He's a flawed man. But guess what? He's accepting the responsibility of a pastor of a flawed church. No perfect pastor, no perfect church. If anything, people will say, "The pastor's kids are always the worst kids in the church." I always say, "Of course, they play with the saints' kids." It's a flawed church, and he's assuming the responsibility of that. Every church is full with individuals with shortcomings and defects, flaws and character things. And you're going to find that in him as well. But 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, Paul says this unto a person stepping up into his call, I charge you therefore before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and in his kingdom. Then he says this: preach the word. There is a call of God. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Rebuke, reprove, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And I'll come back to that one in a little bit. It will take time for you to fully appreciate the value of your pastor that's coming on. I don't want to sound biased, but I'm biased. I don't want to sound a little discriminatory, but I'm discriminatory. I think you're getting the best. Amen. Now, someday I'll come back to preach for you and I'll do better. But I'm not happy about this day because my hopes were always that he would come back home to pastor our church. But I'm ready for the call of God. It's the purpose of God. It's the intent of God. It's not about what we want. It's about what does God want. Amen. And so life is complicated, and it will take time to fully appreciate the leadership and the call of God and what God intends to do in this church through his ministry. Thank God for the ministry that has happened before. Thank God for Pastor Bill. Thank God for all the whoever's been here to pastor before. We thank God that it's here now because of everybody's service. I will tell you this, that when you assume the responsibility of a new pastor, it's just a matter of time until the time of romance ends and the rubber hits the road. It's not always the romantic stage. There comes difficult moments. There comes difficult times. There will be times that somebody will say to someone else, he's too much for me. And somebody else is telling somebody else, he's not enough for me. Some will say, he talks too loud. Some will say, he talks too quiet. Some will say, he needs to be a little better. Some will say, he says too much for me to understand. The same preaching that convicts one person makes another mad. I preached messages before and had people to respond and come in tears and tell you how that they are touched. And at the same time, some walked out of the building angry and wanted to know, what in the world did he mean? You see, it's not an easy life. It's a tough life. It's a tough life serving in the ministry. So the same sermon that will bore one will make a massive impact on another. It's unfortunate today that surveying across our nation that 20% of pastors suffer from major depression. Now think about that. 20% of all pastors admit that they are suffering from major depression. 85% of every young Bible college graduate, those who are graduating from the seminary, going into the ministry, excited about the ministry of God, 85% of them will be out of the ministry in 5 years. They go into the ministry, and in 5 years, they've said, we're fed up and tired and through. We can't handle it anymore. I am confident this morning that your pastor will not be faint in heart. He will not walk. He will stay here. He will be faithful here, and hopefully he will remain here as long as he is alive. See, I believe that pastoring is like fathering. You don't run. You stay there. And you always have the place for the kids to come home. And that's what this is all about. It is about fathering an assembly. Thank you, Pastor Bill, for your work to bring it to where it is. Amen. Pastoring is not for the faint in heart. And I am confident that your pastor coming on will work hard to lead souls and lead the lost to a place of victory in the presence of our divine Savior. That he will serve, and he will serve this church. But in serving this church, we must understand that my charge this morning to this congregation is to be a participant alongside your pastor. No person could do it on their own. He and his family cannot keep the torch alive. It takes all together. It takes all of us working. It takes of all of us putting our best foot forward. He is accepting a position. In other words, he is accepting a responsibility. A responsibility to you. A responsibility to this family. But not only that, you are accepting a responsibility by accepting him to say that I will be there to back you whether I understand or not. I will back you in good times and bad. I'll back you when the people are coming and I'll back you when the people are leaving. But we've got to understand the attitude. And this is where I think that you're going to do well. Because I think that your pastor will hold a good attitude, a good responsible position from God. and that he will always put God first in everything that he does. If you believe that, give God a good applaud here this morning. He is accepting a responsibility to become your spiritual leader. He accepted the responsibility to become a prayer warrior for you when things are down and out in your life. He has accepted the responsibility to carry out the great commission that is given to all believers, and that is your responsibility as well. I have confidence that Pastor Dwayne will fulfill his responsibilities, and he will fulfill them understanding that they will not always be exactly what you want them to be, and that he will fulfill them when they are not always appear to be in his own best interests. But sometimes in the best interests of the kingdom, we have to violate the best interests of people or even of ourselves. This is not about me. This is about him. This is not about what I am. It's about his work in the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let me speak for a moment to your pastor and his family. Standing here today, when he stands before us this day and we lay hands upon him and we pray for him, they are accepting the responsibility that they will become servants to this congregation. The pastor should be valued as a pastor, but he has to always understand that the value should come from you and not inside of himself. Because inside of himself, he must always see himself as a servant. And if he ever gets out away from a servant's heart and a servant's attitude, he's already missed God. It is you to lift him up. It is you, like the servants of Moses, held his hands. Somebody has got to hold up his hands and hold them up in good times and in bad. The Apostle Paul writes to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. I like this verse. This is a complicated verse. I will gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. That's a hard verse. I want you to leave that up there for a few moments while we're addressing that verse. I will gladly spend and be spent. When we're talking about spending, we're talking about buying something, exchanging. But when we're talking about being spent, we're talking about exhausting something of our own. Let me address this verse. When you look at in the Bible, in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, and you see the martyr of Stephen, that was not a good day for Stephen. He is killed by the stones that were hitting his body. He laid there beneath those rocks as a bloody, massacred sacrifice for the kingdom of God. Later on, he understands what has happened, but he doesn't understand why that this is going on, because Stephen died not knowing why that God had killed him, or God had allowed him to be killed, and he had died but allowed the killer to live. Why did this happen? Why did this happen? But when God is spending, God is buying. God did not spend the life of Stephen without buying something in return. See, you never know when somebody walks through that door, the sacrifice that we make for them, we never know what we may be buying into. Let me say this morning. Oftentimes a church will say, we're a friendly church. But if we aren't careful in time, we become friendly, but friendly with one another until we overlook guests who come in. We become a kind church, but we're kind to one another, but we forget those who come in who have just walked off the streets, who hell has beat beneath the surface of the ground. They've been beat down, walked on, stomped. They have been trampled on. Nobody cared about them, and some will come in that they feel unloved by anybody, and that's your responsibility. I've got to be willing to spend and be spent. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the day when Stephen is walking down the street of gold? He is in heaven because he has died as a sacrifice, and he has walking down the street of gold, and he looks up, and to his surprise, here comes Saul, the very guy that's had him killed. And he looks up and he sees Saul. I would imagine the first thing he would have said is, "What are you doing here?" That would have been my first words. "How did you get here? How did it the last time I saw you, you were laughing while they were stoning me to death. How did you manage to get here?" I watched you destroy the church. I can't understand, how did you get here?" But I could see Saul looking back to him and saying, "Stephen, you know, I slaughtered many of the church, but the day that you died changed my life. The day that you died, I never was the same again. The day that you died, something happened inside of me. You never saw beyond the 7th chapter of the book of Acts. But had you have seen just a little bit further, I got to write the epistles of the New Testament. I got to write the books about the church order. And Paul had something in him that had come to him through the sacrifice or the spending of the life of Stephen. If Stephen had not died, there never would have been the Apostle Paul. If Stephen had not died, there would have never been 14 pages and books of the New Testament. God had spent Stephen to buy a man that could do what needed to be done. You have no idea when someone walks through your doors what their potentials are. You have no idea what they can be. But it is your job to make them feel comfortable and at home. God may have sent the Holy Ghost to reach to them, to bring them into the presence of God, and to offer them what they needed. As Paul got older, he writes this letter to the church, and he said, "I'm not only willing to spend to win you, I'm willing to be spent. I'm willing to give of everything. I'm willing to drain all that I am for the cause of the work of God." I've tried to do that my whole life. My whole life from an adulthood up has been to try to give myself for the cause of someone else. Because actually, and I don't mean to bore you, but it happened in my life. My grandfather was my apostolic hero. My grandfather was a man of God, preached the gospel for many years, learned and memorized the entire Word of God. A great man of God with great love for the Word of God, and people loved him and admired his stand for the Scripture. But a few days, I went to visit him, 8 days before he died. And my grandfather said to me this, and I never expected to ever hear him say this. "Papaw's about to leave. I'm going to be going. I'm going to be leaving, and somebody is going to step into my shoes and take my place. And it may be you." Little did I know that 8 days later, I would answer the phone that would tell us that he had died that morning preaching with a heart attack. Little did I know that God was preparing me that day, that God would spend him, because from that day, my life changed forever. Never again to be the same. Sometimes God is willing to let a sacrifice be made by you in order to buy someone else. Are you willing to be spent to buy someone else? Are you willing to spend of yourself to give of what you are and who you are? When God sees someone that he wants to buy, he's going to have to spend your time to see it done. Your time, your sacrifice. He's going to have to spend your effort. He's going to have to spend your prayer life. Pastor Dwayne knows that. He knows that it's a commitment in order to buy anybody to the kingdom of God. God doesn't buy people with silver and gold. He buys people with the sacrifice of others. And that's what the work of God is about. It's about sacrifice. Paul said, "I'm now ready to be spent. I'm now ready for my life to be spent." Here this morning, that's what our life is all about. In order to win people to God, we've got to spend our own time. We've got to spend our own energy, our own effort in order to purchase others. You say, well, I thought sacrifice at Calvary purchased them. Yes, but it doesn't happen without you. You've got to make an effort. You've got to put forth the will. And God has a plan. And if the plan is to spend me to gain you, that's what it's about. Pastor Duane, First Lady, I want you to know that in order to serve God, there will be time that we'll have to go to the church when it should be given to the wife and family, but you've got to put the church out there. There are times you've got to make sacrifices that you don't feel is in the best interest of your own life, but you've got to be willing, and you've got to have a family that's willing to allow that to happen. Pastor will be spent, and will spend many hours at the church all alone. There will be tears that will be shed. There will be pain that will be felt. There will be times that his mind is just raging and racing with what has happened. Where's so-and-so? What's going on? I don't know how to reach them, but if I could just get to them, I think I could salvage their walk with God. And we do all that we can. Times when we feel forsaken. Times when we feel all alone. Like Paul said, I gave it all, but when I gave it all, sometimes I feel less than being loved. I feel that I'm getting back less than I'm putting in. When you lay on your bed at night and you can't sleep and everybody in the house is asleep, and you're wondering, is it worth it? I'm here to tell you that today you may not feel worth it at times when people speak evilly of you and they try to diminish the value of who you are. But one day, heaven will call. And when heaven calls and you get to walk up into the presence of God, you're going to see your rewards, and then you're going to say, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. Our time has gotten away. Pastor Duane, First Lady Angela, would you come here in the front, please, and stand? I'm not through, so I'm going to save some to come back with. Sit right here in the center, if you will. I would like to ask the older board and their wives to come and stand behind them and stand with them. All the elders. Today, Pastor Duane and Angela are accepting a charge, an anointing from God, both physically and spiritually. They're accepting a charge that says, I am willing to sacrifice blood and money for the welfare of the returned church. They're saying that I will answer to God for the care of the sheep that are here, and one is no more important than another. The person with not two pennies to rub together will be just as valuable to you as a person that has $1 million bank account. This is not about economics. It is not about what will bring me. It is about what can I bring with me when I come into the kingdom. I will bring my sheaves with me. It is about the presence of God. It is about assuming the ministry and being responsible. And by standing here today, you and your wife are accepting all of the victories, all of the challenges, and all the defeats that will come in this congregation and the time before. And there will be all of those times. There will be victories, there will be challenges, and there will be defeats. And now, as we come here, we have a charge that is being given to you, Pastor. And the charge is the verse that we read earlier. Preach the word. Preach the word. Not just seek out little stories that you think people will like the rhyme and the rhythm of little biblical stories. Preach all the word. Preach the word that people don't want to hear. Preach the word that they do and that they don't. Because the word builds faith and builds strength and courage in them that they can live honorably and respectfully for God. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Be instant when you feel it and be instant when you don't feel it. be there ready when you feel that I've got the message today that I just can't wait to give, and be there on the day, and God bless you. You're going to have a lot of these that you're going to wonder, what am I here for? But you've come to do your best. You've come to give it your best, because this is the kingdom work that we're in. Sometimes the word of God, he says, will reprove. Preach the word. It will reprove. It will rebuke. It will exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I'd rather preach the exhorting one. But it's not all exhorting. It's sometimes you have to rebuke and sometimes you have to reprove. And that comes with the program. God's going to anoint them today. We're going to ask these board members to step up here. Pastor Dwayne, what I want you to do, they're going to join in here, and we're going to pray over you, and they're going to pray over you at the same time. I want you to lay hands on them. And while we're doing that, I want Dwayne and Angela then in turn, once your prayer has completed, I want you to go to each one of those board members, and I want them anointed. Anointed with the cause of God and the work of God. Is that okay? Step from one to the other. See, this board has a responsibility to God and a responsibility to you. And they're assuming that responsibility. Let's pray together. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you this morning. I thank you that Dwayne has stepped up, put on the shoes of the gospel, and says to us that I'm going to carry on the cause of God, and I'm going to take this church to the next level, to the next step. I want to see the growth. I want to see the pattern of growth. I want to see the development of what God is potentially able to do for and in this congregation. May you rest upon him with a special anointing, an anointing to speak that word, an anointing to be faithful to that word, an anointing to become all that he's been commissioned to be from the time he was born. You brought him into this world, birthed him for the cause of the gospel and the kingdom, and let that cause be a valuable part of their life. Right now, God, as they lay hands upon them, there is a special anointing that is coming through this board, and they are anointing this pastor, and they are saying, we will give it our best. We will put our best foot forward, and at all times, we will do the very best for the kingdom of God. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Dwayne, I'm going to give you the microphone. I want you to pray for each member of that board.
Dear Lord, right now, Lord, as we pray over these elders, I lay my hands upon Pastor Bill right now.
Yes.
God, you have this precious man of integrity. God, I appreciate his ministry. I appreciate his leadership. I appreciate his integrity.
Yes.
And God, right now, as I lay my hands upon him, I pray that together you would give us direction,
yes,
that you would give us compassion, that you would give us integrity, and just cause us to walk as you would have us to walk. I pray over his teaching ministry, God. He's a powerful teacher. And I pray that you would just continue to anoint him and let him fulfill your purpose and your plan. For God, there is still a mighty purpose here at Return Church for Pastor Bill. And God, I respect him today and I appreciate him and his ministry. And I ask God in the name of Jesus for you to just move upon his life. He and Elizabeth today, we pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for Mike right now, Lord. Here is a precious man, Lord, that does much of our care ministry and visits the sick and makes visits with those that nobody even knows he's visiting with in this congregation. We appreciate him so much, Lord. And we ask God for your direction upon his life. Lord, he's going through some physical situation right now. And I pray, God, that you would bring healing to his physical body. God, that you would touch him in your name. And God, bring healing to him right now. And I pray, God, that he would be able to do the work that you have called him to do. And God, that you would just raise him up and anoint him, God, to do your purpose in Return Church. Him and Julie both, we thank you for Julie today. She is a giant in this house. God, she's involved in everything that takes place in this congregation. And we could not make it without her. And we thank you for them both today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, for Ted today, Lord, he has a mighty work going on in this outreach ministry. God, it's just amazing of this birthing of this life recovery group. It started off small, and now, Lord, they are seeing just tremendous things happen in this group. And God, I believe today that is why we are seeing revival happening here at Return. It is because of the work that he has listened to your spirit, and he has rose up and done what you have spoken into his spirit. And I pray in the name of Jesus for you to anoint him and to continue to keep your anointing upon his life. Lord, let this life recovery group and van ministry and those that are working in this capacity, I pray, God, that it would continue to flourish, that we would continue to see souls come in, that we would continue to see those that society may have given up on. Lord, I pray that Return would be a light and that we would allow your spirit to, God, just overpower in this need. And God, that they would come and just receive your word and receive your spirit. And God, that through Ted, that you would just continue to anoint him to see this ministry prosper. And today we pray over his health, that you would keep him strong. We pray over Barbara, Lord, as she walks beside him. I pray that you would lead them both of us as a couple and just let them understand the magnitude of this ministry that is going on in Return. And we just pray your blessings over them both today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord, today we pray over Steve and Rebecca. Lord, Steve is a mighty giant in this house. Lord, he is involved in so many things that take place, he and Rebecca both. Administratively, Lord, you have blessed him with a gift. And I pray in the name of Jesus that he would understand that it's a gift from you. And I pray that you would just continue to raise him up in this house. Lord, he has been a part of this congregation from day one. And I pray that you would bless he and Rebecca as they fulfill your ministry in so many ways and in so many avenues. Lord, you've blessed Rebecca with a tremendous gift, and she has a tremendous calling upon her life for women and just speaking into the lives of women. And I just pray that you would bless them both as they fulfill your purpose and fulfill your plan and whatever it is that you have for their lives. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you would just continue to anoint them and that they would walk in your purpose. And we thank you for it today in Jesus' name. And Lord, today I just pray over this elder team as a whole. God, as we meet and we have meetings, and I just pray that you would guide, lead, and direct us to fulfill your vision and to fulfill your purpose. Let us understand this is not about us. This is not about me and my four and no more. But God, this is about the kingdom work and the kingdom principle. And let us understand that today, oh God, that we are walking in the full authority that you have called us to walk in. And together, that we can be strong as a group and just guide and lead us, Lord, to do what you would have us to do at Return Church. We just love you and we thank you. And we appreciate you today, Heavenly Father. We thank you for this word that has been brought forth to us today. Allow it to penetrate our hearts And help us to understand as a congregation of people here at Return that it takes us all collectively working together to build your house. It takes us all collectively working together, putting the groups of the ministries together, just like the hand working with the arm and the fingers working with the hands and the legs working with the rest of the body. It is all of us working together, doing what you have called us to do and being what you have called us to be. God, I speak life over Return Church. I pray that we will be a light in a dark world. Yes. Let us be a light in this community. Let us continue to see growth spiritually. Let us see growth numerically. And let us see growth in every area of the life of the church. And we just proclaim it and believe it today. In your name we ask and pray all of these blessings. In Jesus' name, can we all say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless these elders this morning. And wow, I just believe that God is doing something wonderful here at Return. I'm just glad to be a part of it. As my dad said, can we just give him a hand clap for the word that he shared today? I will be the first to tell you that I'm not a perfect individual most of the time. Sometimes I am. No. That makes me imperfect, doesn't it? But you know, there will be trials and tests and situations that we have to endure as a congregation. But you know something? We've got one another. And so if I get down, I believe there's going to be those that will help lift me up. I know JR will. He's my bodyguard. Amen. Scotty, I appreciate all you do here at Return. And I appreciate all our deacons that are here that we have made deacons. Will you just stand today? These are our deacons in the congregation. And it takes all of us working together. We can't do God's kingdom work with just one man as a pastor. It takes all of us working together. And that's why we have structured this elder team and placed areas of ministry for each one. And then each one is going to follow up in their areas and stay in their lanes and do what they're supposed to do. And I believe together we're going to see great things happen for the Lord. Amen. Let's stand this morning, and we're going to have lunch, but there will just be a few minutes in between, so just fellowship for a few moments as they prepare to get the food all out. It's been cooking, and so there will be a few minutes of transition time. But we're going to go ahead and bless our food. Dear Lord, we just love you today. We pray your blessings over our time of fellowship. We pray your blessings over our food. And just give us a good afternoon. We thank you for all of those that are here this morning. And it's just so special to get to be a part of this great congregation. We love you. We thank you. And we appreciate you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Can everybody say amen?